This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty of the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming up. 40 minutes, we tap into the Detroit Lions. We tap into the Michigan football program with a former NFL offensive lineman, a man that attended and played football at Michigan, and now he hosts Morning Drive in Detroit. John Jansen is going to join the party, and we'll have some fun with him. Always do enjoy our time talking with John, and we'll get his thoughts on the firing of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, and also, what is his alma mater going to do with Mr. Jim Harbaugh? Without further ado, though, we play Onsides Offsides right now. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CeeLo Green, Connor Green, what do you got for me today?
All right, Zach, number one. After nearly beating the Chiefs last week, the Las Vegas Raiders were blown out by the Falcons yesterday, 43-6. They turned the ball over five times, Derek Carr was sacked five times, and they committed 11 penalties in the loss. The Raiders are now 6-5, one game back of the Colts and Dolphins for the final playoff spot. So onside or offside, yesterday's blowout loss convinced you that the Raiders will miss the playoffs.
It showed me that they're a lot closer to last year's team than I thought they were. Because same situation. They were 6-4 last year going into week 12. They lost to the Jets. Embarrassing. Didn't even show up against the Jets. Same thing happened this year, where they didn't even show up and they got spanked around by the Atlanta Falcons. So now they sit at 6-5. And you take a glance at their schedule like we did earlier, it's not the end of the world in terms of scheduling. You have so many teams, though, fighting for those last three spots, even though they added an extra playoff team. So they beat the Jets, let's assume, this weekend. They go to 7-5. All right, you feel a little bit better. But then you play the Colts, the Chargers, the Dolphins, and the Broncos. That's not a terrible stretch. Sure, the Colts-Dolphins games could go either way. You got two divisional games, though. If you want to make the playoffs, you have to, at a bare minimum, defeat the Jets, Chargers, Broncos. You do that, you get yourself at 9 wins, and then you got to split Colts and Dolphins. So it's doable, but 10-6 this year doesn't guarantee you a playoff spot. And we went through this in the last hour. You're asking me the seven playoff teams right now today? In no order, Bills, Steelers, Titans, Chiefs, Brownies, Colts, and then the Baltimore Ravens. So I just have the Raiders. I just have the Dolphins missing out. So you ask me, yesterday's blowout loss convinced you that the Raiders will miss the playoffs. Right now you ask me if they're going to miss it. Yeah, I go on sides. They're just going to miss it. And that game yesterday could come back to haunt them. Really could.
Number two, your New England Patriots.
Who's the New England Patriots?
Your New England
Patriots. That's right, 5-6. I'm proud of a 5-6 football team. How pathetic am I?
They took down Kyler Murray and the Cardinals 20-17, and their defense was great as they won despite the fact that Cam Newton threw for just 84 yards with two interceptions. New England has now won three of their last four games, including great wins against the Cardinals and Ravens. So onside or offside, Bill Belichick and the Patriots will run the table and finish the season at 10-6.
You look at their schedule. It's not crazy that they could run the table. Chargers, Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Jets. It's not crazy. You know, it's not a game that you look at and you say, wow, they can't win. But there are some tough games. Rams tough. Bills tough. Dolphins could go either way. And the Patriots already beat the Dolphins once this year. That was game one of the season. Here's the thing, though. And a lot of people got sucked into the trap after they defeated the Ravens. Oh, here comes the Pats. Then they lost to the Texans. This is a team that, yes, they've competed against the Chiefs without Cam. They were 1 yard away from taking down the Seahawks. They beat the Cardinals. If Cam doesn't fumble the football, they beat the Bills. This team does not have a lot of talent. This is not a talented roster. This is a bottom 10 roster in terms of talent this year. Maybe bottom 5. But definitely bottom 10. With all the opt-outs, with all the players leaving in free agency, they got to win out. They got to go 10-6. We're talking about the Raiders possibly going 10-6 and missing the playoffs. So they have to go 10-6, and the Pats do have a tiebreaker against the Raiders. They beat them earlier in the year. Do I think they're going to win out? Do I think they're going to win their final five? No. And the reason so is just when some people started to believe after the Ravens game, they lose to the Texans. It wouldn't surprise me they lose to the Chargers this weekend. And the Rams have a very good defense. Goff inconsistent. Dolphins could go either way. Bills could go either way. And how about this? If let's say it comes down to the final game of the season and the Pats are already out of it. Let's say they lose to the Rams, they lose to the Bills, and goodbye, they're toast. If the Jets have 0 wins and the Jaguars still have 1 win, and let's say the tiebreaker, if the Jets get a win, has the Jaguars with a, you know, if the Jaguars only get 1 win, if the Jets get 1 win, the Jaguars get the tiebreaker for the number 1 overall pick to get Trevor Lawrence. Couldn't you see Belichick with his mastermind?
I don't want to face Trevor Lawrence for the next 15, 20 years, if I'm even coaching that long. So we're going to tell our players to put in Brian Hoyer. We want to evaluate Brian, or we want to evaluate Stiddy. We'll evaluate Stidham. I'm going to sit out all my offensive linemen. I want to see what my 7 deep defensive lineman looks like, and we're going to intentionally lose to the Jets so they don't get Trevor. Ha, how do you like that? Tank for Trevor? Yeah, I ruined your tank. I threw gasoline all over your tank. Fire, explosion. You don't get Trevor Lawrence and you went 1-15.
Couldn't you see Bill do that? And that game means nothing for him.
It sort of looked like that's what he was trying to do the first time they played the Jets. It was like they were trying their best not to win the game. So who knows with Bill Belichick.
All right, so Bill Belichick and the Patriots run the table and finish season 10-6. Offsides, don't think so.
Offside.
Number 3, Trace.
Number 3, America's favorite fantasy football tight end, Taysom Hill, made a second start at quarterback yesterday as the Saints beat the severely limited Broncos 31-3. Hill struggled as a passer, going 9-for-16 with just 78 yards, along with an interception, but did rush for 44 yards and 2 touchdowns. Onside or offside, despite not having a great game as a passer, the Saints are making the right call starting Taysom Hill at quarterback.
I don't care if they won these last 2 games. They played the Falcons and the Broncos. Those are 2 football teams that are not good. And Taysom Hill, I know last week everyone was praising him. He wasn't really impressive last week. And this week he wasn't impressive either. Now, he did have a turnover this week, but what he's doing is basically they're going to limit the amount of times he throws the football. They'll have him throw 18, 20 times a game, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to get your rushing touchdowns. And they'll weather the storm. They're not going to lose the division. Their schedule isn't tough. We'll see when Drew Brees comes back from his 11 rib fractures and his collapsed lung, which I didn't even know you had 11 ribs in the body. And they'll be able to do enough. But you can't tell me that Jameis Winston is not a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. I just don't buy it. If I'm running the Saints, and hey, they're 2-0 since Drew going down, so maybe they know better than what I know, but it's not, they're not winning games because of the quarterback. They're not. So despite not having a great game as a passer, the Saints are making the right call starting Taysom Hill at quarterback. Now they're making the wrong call. It's working for them.
But this is offsides. Jameis Winston should be the starting quarterback. I don't even see how this is a debate. Offsides.
Offside.
You agree with that or no?
I think that Jameis Winston is the better quarterback of the two right now, but I think Sean Payton has to put his money where his mouth is.
He loves Taysom Hill. That's what it is.
He loves Taysom Hill. He's called him the next Steve Young. If you're saying these things and you're paying him all this money, he has to start Taysom Hill. Now, he might even really believe.
He didn't last year, though.
He didn't do it last year. Maybe he didn't feel that Taysom was ready to start.
Well, hold on. I ask you this. Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater for the next 5 years?
I would rather have Teddy Bridgewater for the next
really?
5 years. I would.
Wow. Okay, I'd rather have Jameis Winston. And I know Jameis Winston's a turnover machine, but there's a lot of times where Teddy Bridgewater this year has had a spot to go win the game and he's had turnovers. I think Jameis Winston's a better football player than Teddy Bridgewater. The one knock on Jameis are the interceptions. And it's not as if Jameis Winston, and yeah, he's had a lot of turnovers, but he hasn't been throwing 30 interceptions each and every year. That was the first year he was in Bruce Arians' offense. And I never thought Brady would have double-digit picks this year, but here we are. He has double-digit picks. So maybe there is something to be said for first year being in that Arians offense where the numbers are so high for interceptions that if Jameis had year number two, now I would still rather have Brady over Winston, clearly. Maybe Jameis lowers those interceptions to 16 or 17, which is still a lot. But I would rather go be throwing with Jameis than with Taysom Hill. So, and then I also rather have Jameis than Teddy Bridgewater. I really believe it's what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree with you that Jameis...
Taysom Hill, Sean Payton has a man crush on Taysom Hill, so he has to play.
Right, and I think he might even think right now that Jameis Winston is a better quarterback than Taysom Hill, but I think he needs to at least get a look at Taysom Hill at quarterback. Because otherwise, you're never going to know what he is, and you're never going to know whether spending $16 million on him is worthwhile.
Now, I don't think this way. Some people do, though. Zach Stroop was on this show, and he said it's not likely because of the salary cap situation that they're in that they're going to be able to keep Jameis Winston. Maybe he's just hoping teams don't go out and pay Jameis Winston a whole lot this year so they have a chance of keeping him. Now, I don't think you operate that way. I think you do what's best in the moment for the team. Maybe that is an explanation, though. I think it's far-fetched. I've heard crazier things, though. Number four, what do you got for me?
All right, number four. The Tampa Bay Bucs were torched by the Chiefs' air raid passing attack, losing 27-24 yesterday afternoon. Tom Brady struggled for much of the first half, but largely played well in the second half, eventually throwing for 345 yards and three touchdowns. Brady also completed multiple passes over 20 yards down the field. So onside or offside, despite losing this game, it actually gave you confidence that the Bucs will be a serious threat come playoff time.
Not because of the way they lost. I thought that game was so one-sided. I know the final score says that. So I go offsides for this question.
Offsides.
The Bucs, though, can still be a threat come playoff time. And I don't think it's because of what necessarily the way Tampa's playing. And the rest of the NFC, if I ask you tomorrow, who's going to the Super Bowl in the NFC? Who's your answer right now? It's tough to have an answer.
I would say Seattle probably.
And they don't
but
have a defense.
Tough. I know.
So any team you give me, I have a flaw. If you tell me the Saints, who may be the most well-rounded team in the NFC, we don't know what Drew Brees is going to look like coming back from this injury. If you tell me Seattle, they got no defense. If you tell me the Rams, Jared Goff is a problem. If you tell me it's the Packers, will their run defense show up in the playoffs? So maybe Tampa goes 10-6, 11-5. That's what the record's going to be at the end of the year. It's either going to be 10-6, 11-5. And maybe how we expected this team to be, they'll find a way to make it click in the postseason. For the fact that the offense really hasn't clicked on all cylinders and we're 12 weeks in, that's surprising to me. And that secondary is not good in Tampa. They have a good front seven. The secondary is no bueno. And Tony Romo, I like Tony Romo. Little too much even for me yesterday, Brady fan number one. I get it. The play calling is questionable at times. You got to put some blame on Brady for this. And that's coming from the biggest Brady fan there is. Brady, you know, he could throw an awful interception. Ah, it's because of the offense line. Ah, because it's the wide receiver. Brady has to take some blame for that. He's the guy throwing the football. And Arians Brady. I wonder how that relationship's going to be. I wonder what happens this offseason. I would not be terribly surprised if they move on from Arians I still think Arianzo is going to be back next year. I do think that will be the case. And then I loved Romo after the game. You know, I think we'll see this matchup again. And then Nance said something along the lines of, oh, you really do? And he goes, well, I'm not telling you it's definitely going to happen. Either say it or don't. Come on, Tony. So maybe the Bucks. No, I'm kind of just doing the same thing there. I'm telling you right now, yesterday doesn't make me feel better that they're going to get to a Super Bowl. If you look at the NFC, though, there's not a lot of you have teams that you go, oh, yeah, they're compelling. There's not one team that separates itself from the pack right now. Like in the AFC, there's a separation. I think the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl. But the two teams for certainty that are your teams in the AFC are the Chiefs and the Steelers. All these other teams, I don't look at them as Super Bowl contenders. In the NFC, if you tell me one pick right now to get to the Super Bowl, I don't have one for you. I don't. All right, number five, go ahead.
All right, number five. The Dolphins were sloppy yesterday, but still did enough to beat the hapless Jets 20-3. With Tua Tagovailoa hurt, Ryan Fitzpatrick got the start and played well, throwing for 257 yards and two touchdowns. So onside or offside, if Brian Flores and the Dolphins want to make the playoffs, they should continue to start Ryan Fitzpatrick even when Tua comes back.
Do you walk away from a 20-3 victory against the Jets and go, oh my, Ryan Fitzpatrick has to start now over Tua? Absolutely not. When Tua is healthy, it's not about this year. It's about seeing what Tua can do and getting him the confidence this year and building some momentum. And they are building momentum. You cannot go to Ryan Fitzpatrick in what, the 3-4 games that Tua has played in and just say, you know what, Tua's healthy, but we're going to go with Ryan. He gives a better chance to win. Then you should have never made the decision in the first place to bring in Tua. And it was the right call to bring in Tua. To me, when Tua's ready to go, you play him. Now, he's a little banged up. You don't have to run him out there against the Jets. You could put Connor Green or myself at quarterback up against the Jets. And I'm not kidding. I think we get a W. If you put the Broncos quarterback yesterday up against the Jets, the Jets don't get a W. I really do believe that. That's how putrid the Jets are. So yesterday, I don't say, oh, my goodness gracious, Fitzpatrick was sensational in a 20-3 victory against the Jets that now you got to start him over Tua. Absolutely not. So if Brian Flores and the Dolphins want to make the playoffs, they should continue to start Fitzpatrick even when Tua comes back. I don't think Fitzpatrick gives him a drastically better chance than Tua. So you're asking about the playoffs, to make the playoffs. Could be a little bit different. I would still go Tua. Because Fitzpatrick has an expiration date. Eventually, he's going to crumble. I would continue for the present and for the future, go with Tua. So I go offsides there.
Offside.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. And when we come on back on the other side, Rams and Raiders. Disappointment, disappointment, disappointment. We talk about the Rams' L to the 49ers and the Raiders. That beatdown against the Falcons. And is Raheem Morris lining himself up to get the interim tag removed and be the next head football coach permanently for Atlanta? We discuss next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. John Jansen coming up in about 20 minutes from now. We'll try to figure out who he thinks will be the next Lions head coach. He'll give his final words on Matt Patricia and also get into his putrid Michigan Wolverines. On the Zach Gelb Show, as always, you could give us a call at CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Bobby in Oregon, one of my favorite places to visit, is next up on CBS Sports Radio. Bobby, what's shaking?
How you doing, Zach? Great show, man. I love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What do you got for me today, Bobby?
I wanted to ask you if you really pick up the Packers when they win and you really knock them down when they lose. I'm a little confused on your heart. You kind of sound like you have the New England Patriot heart in the NFC or the Packers. You always think they're going to win. They're always going to be there. I just want you to answer this one question.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage do you give them to make the NFC final?
The championship game? Or are you talking the Super Bowl?
No, just the NFC final.
All right, so you're asking me what shot do I give them to the NFC championship game. That's correct?
Yes.
All right.
You're a good man. You're a smart dude. I bet on you 3 times, and I've won 3 times.
Oh, really? Usually the percentages don't work out that way, but glad we could make you a few extra bucks. I would say, you know, off the top of my head, probably like a 22-25% chance because Rodgers is that good. Do I love the Packers this year? I don't. I think they're flawed in their run defense, and there's been some times, the 2 NFC championship games against the Falcons, and then also last year, up
good
against
call.
The 49ers, where they just get blown out. So this year, there's not a dominant team in the NFC. So because of their quarterback, it could elevate them. But if they go up against a team that could run the football, I want to see how their run defense shows up and if it will show up.
So if I put 100 on them at 11-1 now, probably good bet.
To get to the Super Bowl?
No, NFC final.
Oh, just to get to the final?
Yeah.
I won't tell you how to spend your money, but that's not a horrible bet. Not a horrible bet. Now, if you lose, you don't got to call me up and tell me that I owe you some money, but I don't think it's a horrible bet there, Bobby.
One more question.
Yeah.
There's a dude ripping you off, man. He does a Samuel Adams commercial. He's from Boston, too, and he's got that.
I'm not
really
from
powerful...
Boston, but, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. He no, just got that. He sounds like you. Just if you look it up, just get one day on your computer. You're a pretty sharp guy. I love you to death. And he sounds just like you.
Well, Bobby, can I give you a little breaking news?
Yes.
I'm going to go ESPN 30 for 30. What if I told you I am the man in the Sam Adams commercial?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, my friends. I told him, hey, listen to the show. We're quite a few. Oh, my God, Zach. You're blowing my mind.
Well, Bobby.
Send me a postcard, man.
Ooh, I'll send you a postcard. On the postcard, here's what I'll tell you. I'm not the guy in the Sam's.
I'm a pretty cool dude. I've been a Packer fan since 1967.
Da-na-da-na-na-na. Go, Pack, go! Jerry Kramer. Love Jerry Kramer. Leroy Butler. Favre. Rodgers. Bart Starr. Bobby, I hate to break your heart here. I'm going to send you a postcard. We're gonna get your number off the air. We'll get your address off the air. I'll send you a postcard. And on that postcard, right. I hate to break your heart. I had to have some fun with you. I'm not the guy in the Sam Adams commercial. I wish, because then I have more money in my pocket, but that's not me. I have no clue what you're talking about. Well, what commercial?
Well, it's just Samuel Adams beard commercial. Have your friends look it up, and you go, God damn, sounds just like me. But you're a good dude. There's nobody like Zach.
You got it, Bobby. I appreciate it. We're going to put you on hold here, Bobby. I'm going to send you a postcard because that's what I do. I want to send Bobby a postcard in Oregon. Don't let Bobby go anywhere. Connor, drop everything that you're doing right now. Get Bobby's address. I got to send my man Bobby a postcard. Love Bobby in Oregon. First time talking to him. That's a lot of compliments. Maybe I'll send him $20 in the mail. Thanks for all the kind words. I'm surprised you could even make that. I guess you could bet on anything. Just $100 for the Packers to get to the NFC Championship game? What do you say? 10-1, 11-1? Yeah, I would do that. I would do that if I was Bobby. Because if you look at the NFC, who's the team? Saints, I don't know what they're going to be when Drew Brees comes back. Bucks, they have their issues. Packers, their run defense is not all that bueno. But Rodgers is so damn good. That Rodgers throw to Davante Adams last night. What a play. Bobby was probably jumping up and down, screaming, "Dana, dana, 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 go, Pack, go." So if you're telling me you could put a bet of the Packers going to the NFC Championship game, it's not bad. Question is, how much better are they than last year? Connor,
That's actually not a bad. I forget exactly what he said. Just to get to the championship game, the NFC championship game, Packers are going to be in it. They're definitely going to be in it. I'm not saying they're definitely going to be in the game, but they're going to be in the conversation. They're going to be in the hunt.
That's not a bad bet at all because they're going to be right there. It's them, the Seahawks, maybe the Buccaneers, and the Saints. So yeah. I think you really got a 2 out of 4 shot.
Not the Rams after yesterday?
I don't think so. I don't trust Jared Goff at all. He just can't stop turning the ball over,
making
way too many mistakes.
And their defense did everything. They got him a touchdown yesterday. And that's now twice against the 49ers. Two times against the 49ers where they should have beat them both going into that game and the 49ers beat them. And in both games, Goff had problems. It's amazing. Robert Saleh is a very good coach. Very good coach. So the Rams yesterday, disappointing. But that's a team, if Goff just gets hot, for 2-3 games. Now, I don't think they win a Super Bowl with Goff. But they could get to an NFC title game if he gets hot for 2 games and win wild card round, divisional round, then boom. John Madden would say, boom! You're in the NFC title game because of how good that defense is. Do I think Goff wins a Super Bowl with this team? We had Isaac Bruce on last week. I know he's a former Ram, and he's going to say everything that leans towards the Rams. He thinks they could win a Super Bowl with Goff. I don't. And you even saw it. They got to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and he was terrible in the Super Bowl. There's just some games. You would agree with this assessment with Goff? He plays 2-3 games where you go, wow, franchise quarterback, look at this potential. And then he'll play 2-3 games where you go, how is this guy even a starting NFL quarterback?
And he'll even do it in-game. Like, he'll look really great in
the
entire
game. Perfect example.
And makes a terrible boneheaded interception that you have no idea what he's doing, or he throws a pick to a defensive lineman, or he underthrows a guy by 10 yards. It's just hard to pin down exactly who Jared Goff is because it's never consistent.
And the Raiders. The Raiders, to me, that's a team that you want to see in the playoffs because of John Gruden. Carr gets a lot of crap, and deservedly so, because he could be very obnoxious. He wants all the praise. You can't be a quarterback of a team and have what happened the last 2 years where you are 6-4, you get smacked by the stinking Jets, and then you get smacked by the Falcons. And Raheem Morris, if you would have told me 2-3 weeks ago he was going to get that Falcons job, I would say, oh, incompetent Falcons, how do you do that? I know that Dan Quinn last year, slow start, strong finish. Maybe it's the same thing with the Falcons, but Raheem Morris is making a serious case to get that job. He really is. And he's been a head coach before with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So maybe the Falcons do make him their next head coach. I actually think it's going to happen now. And yesterday, they embarrassed the Raiders. And now we'll see if the Raiders could get to 10, 11 wins or... Yeah, they have to win out to get to 11. That's not going to happen. And we'll see if they get to 10 wins. It's going to come down to tiebreakers. But that's a game. If the Raiders don't make the playoffs, and last year they lost 5 out of the last 6 and missed out on the postseason, they were at 6 wins. They won 1 game the rest of the year. If they don't make the playoffs, they're going to look back at that Falcons game. It's going to come back to bite them in the tuchus. How about our guy Bobby from Oregon? You got his address? Did he give you the address?
He did, yes. Yeah. So you better make sure you send him a postcard.
Oh, I will send Bobby in Oregon the postcard. Do you have any idea what he's talking about with that Sam Adams commercial?
He mentioned it to me off the air. I've never seen a commercial where I've been like, oh my God, is that Zach?
Yeah, right.
Never any commercial ever.
No clue, though. So we'll send Bobby a postcard. I will go to the store downstairs, a convenience store tomorrow. I will get a postcard. I will tweet out what I'm writing to Bobby on the postcard and then send it to him. People are loving us. If you know, in Wisconsin, I'm leading that sign the Supermax, keep the Greek freak charge for the Bucks, and now people thinking I'm a Packers fan. All right, we'll take a timeout. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we're talking Lions, yuck. We're talking Michigan football, yuck. And what direction are those two teams moving in? John Jansen played for Washington's football team, played for Michigan, and now hosts Morning Drive for an intercom station, The Ticket. In Detroit, he's going to join us next to talk all things Lions and all things Michigan. First up, though, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to Rich Ackerman.
The Z. Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
John Jansen played at Michigan, also played for Washington's football team, the Detroit Lions. Now he hosts Morning Drive in Detroit on the Ticket, along with Stoney, who actually went to college with my mother, as I've been told throughout the years. Anyway, though, John Jansen's here with us to talk about the disgraceful Detroit Lions and the joke of a football team that he loves in the Michigan Wolverines right now. John Jansen, how you been?
Good evening, Zach. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You want to know why I respect you greatly?
Why's that?
Other than the fact that you're very talented and you're great at what you do, I saw a photo over the weekend. Through thick and thin, you're supporting your football team, the Michigan Wolverines. You went to that game against Penn State over the weekend?
I did. I was actually, this would be probably a shock. It was a shock to me. I was sitting there as the only fan in the stands. I was one person in a 111,000 seat stadium, and I still didn't win fan of the game.
Were you the designated driver at least?
Yeah, trust me. I could have used a whole lot of adult beverages watching that game on Saturday.
So other than you being yourself, is there a story how you were the one fan there this past weekend?
Well, no, I mean, not really. I do the pregame show leading up to it, and then Dan Dierdorf, Jim Brandstatter do the play-by-play in color. So I get a chance to just sit there and watch the game. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to pick the best seat in the house. I was about 15 rows up on the 50-yard line. Had a great view. It was a beautiful day in Ann Arbor. Like I said, it was beautiful except for the performance on the football field.
John Jansen here with us. So Michigan, Harbaugh has done some good things there, but you still have this feeling of disappointment. We know they've never defeated Ohio State. They never won a Big Ten championship with them. And obviously they've never been to a college football playoff. It seems as if it's time. A few weeks ago, I probably say he's back next year. Who knows if he wants to stay? If I'm the university, I think about and I move on from at the end of the year. Where do you stand on that?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Ward Manuel, the athletic director, does, because Michigan has never obviously fired a coach in the middle of the season. They'll wait to the end of the year, and then they'll take stock of everything that a college coach is supposed to do and see where Jim stacks up. And I can tell you right now, in regards to off-the-field problems and how he's dealt with them, he's done a great job in terms of getting guys to graduate and, you know, emphasizing the importance of getting a college education and supporting them in that process. He's done an outstanding job. You look at his record and, you know, a couple of 10-win seasons, a 9-win season. His worst was 8 wins. Obviously, this year is nowhere near that. But you mentioned it already. He hasn't beaten Ohio State. He's 500 against the in-state rival Michigan State Spartans. And his record against top 10 opponents or as an underdog is less than desirable. So it's really going to come down to what Ward Manuel and the Regents believe is acceptable. How do you weigh one with the academics? Because this is a student athlete. It's not professional sports. How do you weigh that with not as many wins as you'd like to see paying Jim Harbaugh what you're paying him?
What does your gut tell you right now? Is he on the Michigan sidelines next year?
Gosh, you know what? I go back and forth. And, some days I wake up and I think, yeah, he's back. Other days I wake up and I don't see how it's possibly, how it could possibly be that way. And I think the one caveat that you and I don't necessarily know all of the details, and there's really only a couple of people in this world that do, is what's it going to cost to change coaching staffs? Because in my estimation, you're looking at probably somewhere between $20 and $25 million. With Jim Harbaugh having another year on his contract with the assistant coaches, then you've got to attract another coach. You've got to hire a new set of assistant coaches. And if there's anything you're doing in the building, whether it's the weight room and the support staff, that's a price tag that in the middle of a pandemic, I don't care who you are, if you're Michigan, if you're Ohio State, if you're Alabama, if you're USC, when you're running a $120 million deficit, how do you reconcile that price tag? And maybe there's ways that they could defer the cost, But that's something that I don't know what that price tag is, and I don't know what's going to go into making that decision.
John Jansen, if it was up to him, do you think he sees the writing on the wall and how this isn't going to end up successful for him at Michigan and goes back to the NFL? Or does this eat at him so much because you get it? Hey, it's your school. You don't want to leave on bad terms. You don't want to leave as a disappointment that maybe you stick it out and you want to see this thing through.
I think if it's up to Jim Harbaugh, he's going to be back. I think that all of the things that you just said, and not having beaten Ohio State, the record against his rival, all of the business that is unfinished at Michigan, I think is, and Jim is as much of a competitor as anybody that I've ever met. And he doesn't want to leave thinking that business was unfinished, that it was a failure.
When we look at why they haven't been able to take the next step, what do you point your finger on for the reason, John Jansen, why this football team, who's, like you said, 10 wins, you know, they've had that a few times. There's some years where you think, all right, maybe this is their year, and then they disappoint. What is it with Harbaugh that he's been good, but he's not been able to get to greatness at Michigan?
Well, I think there's two reasons. I think one is you look and you say, you know, what's the recruiting like? Who is winning the recruiting battles? And that's Clemson, that's Alabama, it's Ohio State in the Big Ten. And when you look at some of the top talent that they've had in a Rashawn Gary, what type of production yes, he was a first-round pick, but what type of production did he have at Michigan? And you look at the development, some of the coaches that he lost, I think losing Greg Madison to Ohio State. Greg was an assistant coach when I was playing at Michigan. He left to go to Notre Dame. He left to go, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens, was, you know, able to come back with Jim's staff. He has always been known as one of the top recruiters. In fact, there's a lot of publications that over the years have named him the top recruiter in college football. I think that was a big loss for Michigan. He was great at developing that talent. So there is you could go down the list of a number of reasons why you think it is, and I'll just give you one more. When you look at the NFL draft, and I know that Michigan last year, I think it was 10 players, as many as Ohio State, and, you know, they tied a record for, you know, a team out of the Big Ten with players. When those players are drafted in the first couple of rounds, like you have at Ohio State, that's where you know you have great talent in the program and you're developing that talent. When that talent, when those 10 guys, you have one in the first round and then you've got eight or nine guys that are taken in the third round or later, that's where you know you're getting good talent. You're just not getting the top end talent.
Wrapping up with John Jansen here with us. Let me transition to Detroit. Jim Caldwell, I know these aren't great numbers, but for Detroit Lions standards, they're very good. He was 11-5, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, then they moved on. You know, he made the playoffs twice. That 2016 year, they backed their way in, losing three straight to get in the postseason. In 2017, they don't make the playoffs. I get it when the Lions tell you Caldwell was good, but he wasn't going to make them great. Patricia, they thought, was going to be the guy, and clearly he wasn't. Why was it Matt Patricia? And I know it's not an easy place to win, but he took over a team that was having some successful seasons. Why wasn't he able to get this team better where they took a big step back?
Well, I think, again, there's always more than just one reason. And the blame doesn't all just lie with Matt Patricia. You know, and for Matt to come in and be a defensive guru and then to watch the defense in year one perform well, in year two, average at best, and then now in year three, you look and you say, well, who are the leaders on this defense? Who are the game changers on this defense? And what are they doing? They're almost at a league worst in points per game and yards in rushing. I mean, it's just that's what's supposed to be his MO. But the blame also lies with Bob Quinn, who was also relieved of duties, the general manager, in acquiring that talent because they both came from New England. Bob Quinn was here. He's the one that fired Jim Caldwell and then hired Matt Patricia. They should know exactly what they want. And, you know, because they worked together prior to being in Detroit, and it never seemed like they were on the same page with what Matt Patricia needed on defense. And then on the flip side, on offense, I'm just not a believer that Matthew Stafford is the quarterback that's going to get you over the hump. He's a guy that you can win with, but you're not going to win because of Matt Stafford. And too many times he's thrown just costly interceptions or taken costly sacks in situations that you wouldn't expect now in year 12, but even going back to year 9, 10, and 11, that you wouldn't expect an experienced quarterback to do. So there's plenty of blame to go around, and obviously the GM and the coach are going to take the brunt of that.
I would probably go full-out tank mode next year. I know it's tough for a first-year coach to walk in, but you get that one-year grace period, unless if you're Freddie Kitchens or Steve Wilkes, who was out with the Cardinals. I would imagine you probably tank that tank year next year, and then you move on from Stafford after that. That would probably be my guess on what they do.
Well, you could go that route. As a former player, I can't endorse tanking to get a better draft pick.
Well, players don't tank, but the front office does.
Well, the front office could, and there's a number of ways they could go about doing that. But I think in this year's draft, I think that they do have the opportunity, if Matt Stafford is going to be back for another year and his contract kind of dictates that he will, that you could take a Trey Lance, a Kyle Trask, somebody of that ilk, and let them season for a year in a new system, learn from a quarterback that has some experience on what to do, what not to do. And I think there's just some good opportunities, that if you play a young quarterback maybe halfway through the season, he gets a chance to get some experience. You're probably not going to be that successful because there's so much to do and so much of the roster to turn over. So by default, you're probably going to be tanking anyway.
John Jansen, I got about 30 seconds left. If Robert Saleh's the next coach, are you okay with that? I saw that was making some noise over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's done a great job in San Francisco. And, one of the things I like about him is he's got a lot of talent out there, but he has found a way to win without that talent.
Yeah.
They've been devastated by injuries. Plus, he's a Dearborn native. Coming home, it would be great to have a guy from home be able to make that difference.
John Jansen, you be well. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. You take care.
There's John Jansen. Always enjoy talking with him. When we come on back, no huddle offense. Huddle, hike! We got a whole lot to do. We recap every game from yesterday. We have audio. We have controversial finishes. We have big-time touchdowns. And even some frustrated coaches. Don't want to miss it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.